Welcome to the Believe Podcast, a conversation between friends over a passage of scripture. My name is Carolyn Kirsten.
And I am Marvin Williams.
And today we are talking about John chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. A big chunk today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is again, one of these really, really familiar passages. But let me, you know, we're kind of both foodies in a sense. I mean, and you know, we like good food, and for sure.
I'm grateful for the variety of foods that God has given us to enjoy.
I'm not a coffee drinker, but I know you are.
Yeah.
I'm more of a tea drinker. But here's a question for us. What is one thing you like to eat or drink to satisfy your hunger or thirst? When you're hungry, when you're thirsty, what is your go-to?
Okay, so I have said this. I think I could eat a Qdoba burrito bowl every single day and not get tired of it. I think it works, no matter the time of year. Now, I guess I would not eat it for breakfast. I will draw a line there. But I seriously think I could eat it every single day and not get tired of it. And yes, I do get the exact same things on it every time. So that is my fail safe, always good. Qdoba can sponsor our podcast.
All right. For me, if I had to choose, and I know this is going to sound really, people will like want to throw up for this.
No.
Like for me,
okay.
I like fruit. So fruit is one, but grapefruit is like one of my favorite go-to.
Wow.
Foods to eat. It not only satisfies my thirst because there's I love grapefruit juice as well, because of the juice in the grapefruit. But it's satisfying to me as a food. And
now, do you put sugar on it, or do you just really
I used to put sugar on it, but I don't put sugar on it anymore.
You are hardcore.
I like the because sometimes some grapefruits are just naturally sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's everyone. Please don't at me. I know they're like no, don't do grapefruit. But some grapefruit are naturally sweet, and so you don't really need to put sugar on them. So those are things. If you ask Tanya, like I can eat grapefruit literally every single day.
Okay.
And that's what I go to.
I can't say grapefruit is my thing, but you're probably healthier than I am. But if we went with this grapefruit versus Qdoba burrito bowl diet, I think you might be further ahead. But.
Okay. So here's another question. And this is, again, this is for all of us. I mean, we've all have fallen into this, right? Why do you think the messages in TV commercials are so appealing and persuasive?
Yeah. Well, because that's what they're designed to do. I mean, I can think of, it was a couple years ago during March Madness when Coke came out with orange vanilla Coke. And you remember it was like every other commercial was the orange vanilla Coke commercial. And we finally, as a family, were like, okay, we'll try it. It sounded so weird initially, like orange vanilla Coke. That is not something I would have picked. But so in that case, it was the repetition of it. Like, okay, now it's starting to sound appealing. I guess we should try it. And we did. Like, we did. We went to the store and we got the orange vanilla Coke.
How was it?
And it was okay. Like, it wasn't gross. It wasn't, like, amazing. It was fine.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, it is, again, the Apple Store is a running commercial, right? It's a running commercial for me. I walk in and I all of a sudden recognize that I have needs that I didn't know. I have desires that I didn't even know that I had. And I walk out, you know, $300 later, $400 later with things that I thought I needed and wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get home, I have buyer's remorse. Like, why did I buy this? I didn't really need this. So why are we talking about appealing, persuasive commercials and food and drink that satisfy our thirst? Why are we talking about that?
So because today's passage is another conversation that Jesus has with someone, and thirst is the theme.
Yeah.
So again, as we are reading a story, particularly in scripture, it's good to look at those details. And we've got a bunch of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this, even right off the bat. This woman, well, Jesus stops at the well. his disciples go in to find some food. A woman comes at noon. This passage specifically says she comes at noon. It tells us she is a Samaritan. Actually, let's hit on those two things, and then there's a couple other things that are more related to Jesus. But why is it significant that this woman came at noon, and what is the significance of her being a Samaritan?
Yeah, so the noon part is, you know, again, this is another one of those details where, you know, this was the time of day that it was easier for her. Let's go back. She's a Samaritan. Mm-hmm. Jews and Samaritans did not have a really good relationship. It goes back many years prior to that time, and they actually hated one another, and they did not have a really, really good relationship at all. Jesus goes through Samaria. Verse 4 says he had to go through Samaria.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Which he really didn't have to. He could have actually gone around Samaria. He could have gone a different route.
So the had to is not a directional, geographical had to.
No. I again, according to this, there's a little verb, dei, D-E-I, had to or must. It is more of a divine kind of leading from God. Like on the other side of Jesus's obedience, there's going to be a divine appointment, kind of that idea.
Okay.
So Jesus is being led through Samaria.
Like compelled.
Compelled to go through Samaria because God knows that there's going to be a woman there that ultimately he's going to have an encounter with. So he doesn't have to go through, but he's compelled to by the Spirit of God. It is the hottest part of the day. It is a time where only women could go to the well at that time, and so Jesus comes up and he's tired and he's thirsty.
I actually love that because it does specifically say that Jesus, worn out from his journey, sat down at the well. Like, just an example of how Jesus was fully God, and here's an example of his humanity.
Because absolutely.
I think we can all relate to being worn out from a journey. You know, whether that is a run that you've gone on for exercise and you are worn out, or whether that is actually going on a vacation with toddlers.
Yeah.
And you are, what was a vacation, you end up returning worn out from the journey.
Yeah.
So
I love the fact that
sometimes it's even a trip to the grocery store can wear us out. Like all, and,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I love that Jesus
yeah.
knows what that feels like.
Yeah. And again, for those who are listening, you have to know you have a Savior who knows what you've gone through, what you're going through,
yeah.
and can feel the pain of that. And so we see the humanity of Jesus.
Yep. Even in such an ordinary thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he meets this woman. And you know, again, this is super, super interesting because culturally speaking, men just simply did not talk to women alone during this time. And so this divine leading from the Spirit of God causes Jesus to cross all kinds of boundaries. He crosses a geographical boundary, which, again, he could have gone around,
mm-hmm.
but he walks into a place where Jews and Samaritans hate one another. And then he crosses another boundary where he's talking to this woman, which, again, later on in the text, the disciples like, "Why are you talking to that woman?" And so the gospel, the kingdom of God, or the reign and rule of God, compels Jesus to cross boundaries because he knows that there's someone on the other side who actually needs to hear about this life that he offers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we get a chance to see a little bit of this in this particular passage.
And what a great example that is to us. I mean, I think that can directly apply to us today where we have the opportunity and need to, and hopefully are compelled to cross some boundaries. whether that's to have a relationship or a conversation with someone from a different political party or from a different socioeconomic level than we are. Like, we too are called to cross some boundaries. It might be a racial group or an ethnic group that you are crossing some boundaries and beginning relationships that you've never had before. And how important that is. Jesus models that for us right here.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a variety of ways.
Yeah. Had Jesus not listened and responded to the divine and what we call redemptive must that mm-hmm. had to, and allowed his prejudice to keep him from crossing those boundaries, he would not have had an opportunity to have this encounter with this woman. This woman would not have had an opportunity to encounter Jesus and for her to know that there was a deep-seated hunger and thirst
yeah.
that she didn't even know she had until Jesus met her and began pointing it out to her. Jesus comes and he says to her, "Hey, listen, I like the water that you're getting now, would you like some water that will satisfy your every thirst?" And this woman, like her interest is piqued at this point.
Mm-hmm.
"Hey, give me some of this water so that I won't have to come back to this well." And I think she, you know, like people often did, they misunderstood Jesus.
Yeah, she's thinking literal water. I would love to not have to do this daily task.
Right, right.
And that's not what he's referencing. This living water is a satisfaction in what's truly important.
Yeah, yeah.
Even connecting back to what we talked about in the last episode, like that God gives his spirit without measure. I think that's another way of saying that. This living water. Yeah. Like there's all kinds of things that we can pursue to satisfy our thirst for purpose or our thirst for contentment.
Yeah.
But they're going to end up dry.
Yeah.
You know, and I think even that's what's tricky, is they temporarily satisfy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, those little, we mentioned this before, those dopamine hits when you get the social media going, that's a real thing. And it does provide short-term satisfaction.
Yeah.
Even food, as we talked about at the beginning, you know, that can be something that we look to for satisfaction, for contentment, to fill that ache that we have inside. There's all kinds of things that we turn to instead of the living water.
And ultimately, you know, we ultimately begin to recognize that this thing that we thought would satisfy, this new shiny toy or this new outfit or this new book or this whatever, you know, you can fill in the blank. And the moment we experience it, the moment we wear it, the moment we press the buttons, hear the, you know, the pings and dings. And it's like, I thought it was going to be more than that.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to satisfy something deeper in me. And I think those things, the emptiness actually suggests to us that there's a need for something more to satisfy our deepest longings. And this is what Jesus gives this woman. This woman is looking for satisfaction in relationships. She's looking for satisfaction in a lot of other things. And Jesus comes along and he says, "I have an offer for you that will ultimately satisfy the deepest thirst and desires in your heart." And he wants to offer this living water to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that she will never thirst again.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a big promise.
Yeah.
You know, like fully satisfied.
Yeah. Yeah.
Done deal. Don't have to pursue other things. The other things, yeah, they might be nice. But, and I think that really is true for us. Like if we are fully pursuing Christ as contentment, the other things don't matter as much. But how quickly we flip. Like, I remember a distinctive time. It was a rough day. The kids were little. And it was one of those days nothing was going right. And we had gone somewhere. We were coming in the house, you know, and I'm sure it was car seat struggles. And I don't remember the specifics, but I remember coming in the house and looking around for something to clean. And I know you're going to laugh at that because we talked. But for me, I need it And so I find myself in the bathroom, like cleaning the bathroom, because I just wanted something to go the way it was supposed to on that day. And in that moment, I was like, oh my goodness, I am like a junkie, like looking for a fix. Like, and that is what I was pursuing, something to go the way that was what I thought was my greatest need in that moment. Like, can something just go the way it is supposed to go today? And if I clean this bathroom, that will be my, you know, that was the, what I was looking to satisfy that thirst. And it was a realization of like, oh my, wow. Did I let that, I was totally pursuing something that was temporary instead of going to the Lord, trusting him, you know what, whatever it was that did not go right. You know, I can trust that God's in control. God is in control. It is not up to me to make this day go that I want it to. So,
Well, one of the things that, you know, it probably happened for a lot of people, but it happened for me in during, the COVID season, you know, there is something very satisfying about the Amazon Prime truck pulling up to your house saying, you know, there's a, you know, we have a package.
The email of your front door, the email with the picture of your front door.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, you have something in your cart and you're tracking it, and it's like, and then the moment it comes and you open it and, you know, it's kind of like you're a kid, you play with a new toy, then you start looking forward to the next Christmas.
Yep.
And so I think even in this season, God is saying, no, listen, I want to be your ultimate satisfaction, and not a product in a cart, not a box at your door. I truly want to be the one that that satisfies your deepest longings, and that that you would trust me for that, and not the temporary hits that you talked about earlier. And so I think this is a great, this woman, and Jesus's encounter with her is not just for her, but I think it's for me, it's for all of us to say, like, I want that living water, Jesus. Even though I've been following you for a while, I want that living water. I want it to spring up inside of me so that that I can recognize imitations and reject them and receive the one true living water that he promises to us.
Yep. There's one more boundary that Jesus crosses that we have to draw attention to. Not only was it her ethnicity, not only was it her gender, not only was it the geography in reaching her, but it's also her actions.
This
woman does not have a good reputation.
Yeah.
She has made some wrong choices. I think even that too, maybe the disciples had heard about her and were like, whoa, what? You know, her, not only is she a woman, but do you know the kind of woman she is, Jesus?
Like, yeah, yeah.
But what is so powerful is that Jesus looks beyond her actions and right into her heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that, and that can be so comforting to us. There is nothing that we've done, there's nothing that we might feel like we're defined by that disqualifies us from Jesus's pursuit and for his love for us.
Yeah, everyone can have an encounter with Jesus like this woman, no matter what your past is, no matter even what your present is.
Yep.
Jesus says, I have a divine appointment with you. That word day again, it is a redemptive must. I must meet you at wherever your well is, whether your well is in your home, whether your well is at work, I must meet you where you are. And guess what? No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, it will never, ever disqualify you from having an encounter with me, a life-changing encounter. And this woman truly does have a life-changing encounter with Jesus, and her past did not stop her from experiencing that, which I love that point you brought out.
Yeah, it is. It's such a comfort. So what can we believe about God or believe about ourselves from this passage?
Yeah, I think for me, one of the things that I can believe about God that he desires to meet with me. He desires to, it doesn't matter who I am, my past, what's in my heart, he actually desires and enjoys meeting with me. I think Jesus had a lot of fun having a conversation with this woman.
Yeah.
And I believe that God enjoys when we encounter him through prayer, taking time to listen to him, to talk to him, and for him to talk back to us.
Yeah, it really is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that he pursues us simply because he loves us. There's nothing we've done to earn it, and there's nothing we can do to disqualify ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
He wants to have an encounter, a conversation, a relationship with us. And then the other thing I think that, just really gets me is how Jesus crossed those boundaries.
Yeah.
And pursued this relationship, this conversation with her. And the blessing that it was for both of them. I mean, I think our society right now is just so, where there's just so many reasons to disagree.
Absolutely.
And different sides. Like everything is a side, like, and it's black or white. It's this or that. It's, you know, what do you think about the vaccine or the masks? Or, I mean, that's just the very current thing. Or, and racial things, you know, is it too emphasized? Is it not emphasized enough? We have such an opportunity to step over those boundaries and to be blessed both directions with listening, in emotionally healthy relationships. We talked about listening incarnationally.
Yeah, yeah.
And just what a blessing that is for both people involved when we really give someone our full attention.
Yeah.
And that's what we see Jesus doing here. And reflecting back, like truly listening to what people are thinking, listening to what they are feeling, we're both going to be blessed and changed by that experience.
So. Yeah, I think for me, at least the portion that I can learn about myself is that Jesus has given us the living water to cross boundaries, all kinds, to take that living water to others. And every day I wake up, I wanna listen to see what is my divine must, what is my divine orders for today, because it might take me across some boundaries that I was not anticipating.
Yeah.
It might take me, say, Marvin, I want you to bring the living water to refugees in your city. Marvin, I want you to take the living water to a group of people who are not like you. Mm-hmm. I want you to take the living water to
a cranky person.
Or
a really annoying person.
Exactly.
Exactly. can be hard.
They need living water well. And I think we, when we wake up in the, and we just rush through our day and into our day, I think we can miss those opportunities, those divine appointments where someone needs living water, and we might miss that. This woman needed that encounter with Jesus. It changed her entire life. And it all started with Jesus having to go through Samaria. And I wonder where our Samarias are, where we might take living water to people who might need it. So, I love this passage, love the encounter. Love the insights that that you brought out today, and very, very grateful for this conversation.
Yeah, it has been rich and a challenge. So, friends, we're so glad you listened. And there's homework this time, isn't there? I don't know how we can listen to that and not know there may be an encounter that God is calling you to. What a joy to experience, to not just believe, but to experience God at work in your life. That is our hope for you this week.